The poet whose name is most often coupled with Tennyson in any survey of Victorian literature is, of course, Robert Browning. There are good reasons for this. Both had to overcome initial critical disapproval. Both wrote prolifically, and both favoured the longer or semi-dramatic forms. Browning was born in London in 1812 and seems to have educated himself in his father's well-stocked library. The romantic story of Robert's secret affair with Elizabeth Barrett, herself a poet, and their eventual elopement and marriage is well known. And indeed, Browning is often at his intelligent best in writing about relationships between men and women. He was accused of excessive obscurity in his day. Jane Carlyle, wife of Thomas, the distinguished social philosopher, having read through Sordello, was unable to make out whether Sordello was a man or a city or a book. Yet no such accusation can be levelled at his brilliant dramatic monologue, My Last Duchess. Browning sets his scene in Renaissance Ferrara, where the Duke is showing his visitor a portrait of his late wife, of whom he clearly disapproved. The sinister touch comes near the end, when we discover that his visitor is an envoy of his next bride's father. What, we wonder, will her fate be?
She had a heart, how shall I say, too soon made glad, too easily impressed. She liked whate'er she looked on, and her looks went everywhere. Sir, 'twas all one. My favour at her breast, the dropping of the daylight in the west, the bough of cherries some officious fool broke in the orchard for her, the white mule she rode with round the terrace, all and each would draw from her alike the approving speech, or blush at least. She thanked men, good, but thanks somehow, I know not how, as if she ranked my gift of a 900 years old name with anybody's gift. Who'd stoop to blame this sort of trifling? Even had you skill in speech, which I have not, to make your will quite clear to such an one and say, just this or that in you disgusts me. Here you miss or there exceed the mark. And if she let herself be lessened so, nor plainly set her wits to yours, forsooth, and made excuse, e'en then would be some stooping. And I choose never to stoop. Oh, sir, she smiled, no doubt, whene'er I passed her. But who passed without much the same smile? This grew. I gave commands. Then all smiles stopped together. There she stands as if alive. Will please you rise? We'll meet the company below, then. I repeat, the count your master's known munificence is ample warrant that no just pretence of mine for dowry will be disallowed, though his fair daughter's self, as I avowed at starting, is my object. Nay, we'll go together down, sir. Ah, noticed Neptune, though, taming a seahorse, thought a rarity, which Klaus of Innsbruck cast in bronze for me.